China.
Demographics. An aging autocracy. China's high stakes struggle to defy demographic disaster.
If China's old people formed their own country, it would be the fourth most populous in the world, right behind America. The silver-haired state would be growing fast, too. China's over 60 population sits at 297 million, or 21% of the total. By 2050, those figures are expected to reach 520 million, and 38%. Yet demographers describe China's future as greyer and smaller. While its older cohorts are growing, younger ones are not. China's total population declined for the second year in a row in 2023. Its labor force has been shrinking for most of the past decade. China's economy risks shrinking too, as a result. With an enormous burden of care on the horizon, the government senses an impending disaster. To date, its efforts have focused on boosting the fertility rate, or average births per woman, which stands at 1.2, far below the 2.1 required to keep the population stable. Now, though, it is talking about adaptation. During a State of the Nation speech last month, the 64-year-old Prime Minister, Li Qiang, sketched out what he called a vigorous national strategy on aging, covering everything from insurance to pensions. China is far from the only country facing demographic decline. The populations of Japan, Italy, South Korea, and many other places are expected to shrink at an even faster rate over the next two decades. The median age in Japan has risen to nearly 50, whereas in China it is around 40. And it could be argued that China has another advantage. Its autocratic government need not cater to elderly voters, whose electoral influence often distorts policy in democracies. In fact, the elderly in China expect little from the state. Chinese officials, then, appear to have no cause for timidity. On top of being vigorous, one might have expected Mr. Li's plan to be bold. So far, though, China's leaders have not pursued the types of reforms needed for their country to escape its demographic destiny. And the longer they wait, the harder their task becomes. Broadly speaking, China faces three big challenges. The first is how to counteract the decline in the labor force in order to avoid a slowdown in GDP growth. Over the past four decades, the economy has expanded by 9% a year on average, aided by a bulge of working-age adults. Now, though, many of these workers are hitting retirement age. Worse, China is getting old before it gets rich. In 2008, when Japan's population started to fall, its GDP per person was already about $47,500 in today's dollars. China's is just $21,000. As more of that money is spent on protecting aging citizens, less of it will be available for the working generation to consume or invest. Still, there is much that China can do to keep its economy growing. To start, it could raise the retirement ages for drawing a public pension. China's are among the world's lowest. Most men can stop working at 60. Women who work in offices can retire at 55, and those in factories at 50. Since these rules were set last century, the average life expectancy in China has risen from under 60 to close to 80. If China's elderly were to have the same labour force participation as in Japan, not a very ambitious target, by 2035, some 40 more million people would be at work, writes Bert Hoffman of the National University of Singapore. Officials have been floating reforms since 2008, but only now do they seem serious. Observers expect a staged increase in retirement ages to begin next year. Meanwhile, China can make better use of its workers. Half of Chinese aged 20 to 24 have attended university or vocational college, compared with just 7% of those who are about to retire. In rural areas, though, few people make it past high school. Improving the skills of this group would go a long way. Mr. Hoffman reckons that, all other things being equal, the shrinking labour force will cost China 1 percentage point of GDP growth each year over the next decade. But a longer working, better educated labour force could cancel out that effect, he says. Officials might also think harder about what Chinese workers do and where they do it. About a quarter of them work in agriculture, compared with less than 3% in rich countries. China's leader, Xi Jinping, age 70, talks a big game about creating high productivity jobs. These are likely to be in cities, but China's hukou, or household registration system, impedes the movement of workers. The country's urbanization rate is about 65%. It should aim for 75 to 80%, says Alicia Garcia Herrero of Natexis, a bank. In the longer term, demographers believe that more machinery and labour-saving technology will also help compensate for a smaller labour force. China has about 400 robots per 10,000 workers, which is higher than most countries. But it is still less than half of South Korea's level of automation. China is trying to catch up. In 2022, half of all the industrial robots installed worldwide were fitted in China, according to the International Federation of Robotics. Assuming the country is able to double its number of such machines to 3 million by 2050, the robot dividend could make up for more than half of the future labour shortage, says a study led by researchers at Beijing Foreign Studies University. If China's first challenge is how to produce as many goods and services as possible from a diminished workforce, the second is how to make sure the elderly have a sufficient claim on those items. At the moment, many old people rely on their families for support. That might please Mr. Xi, who often talks about the Confucian value of filial piety. Shortly after he came to power in 2012, China made it illegal for children to neglect their parents. But with fewer young people around, oldsters will increasingly have to support themselves. Pensions are the solution in most countries, and China has its own schemes. The largest state-run fund relies on contributions from employees and companies. It pays out about 3,600 yuan, or $500, a month on average, or around 50% of what the recipients were earning before they retired. That compares with over 60% in the OECD, a club of rich countries. The Chinese beneficiaries get enough to pay for basic expenses in most urban areas, but the fund only covers salaried workers in cities, less than half of the labour force. A separate scheme covering most other workers relies on state subsidies. It pays out a measly 200 yuan a month on average. A lack of generosity is not the only problem. As the number of retirees swells, these schemes are running out of money. The larger one is on track to go broke by 2035, according to projections by a government think tank. To maintain them both at their current benefit levels, spending would have to double by 2050, reaching 10% of GDP. Pensioner benefit spending in Britain, by contrast, is about 5% of GDP. In order to ease its burdens, the government is trying to convince more people to sign up for private pensions. Since 2022, workers have been able to set aside savings in tax-deferred accounts accessible upon retirement. Only 50 million people have enrolled so far. Most of the accounts are still empty. Officials say workers don't understand the importance of pension planning. But a deeper problem is that many Chinese distrust financial products, preferring to put their money in property. That leaves the government with some tough choices to make. It could press companies to contribute more to the larger state-run pension scheme. Many smaller firms dodge this responsibility. Or the government could raise taxes to fill the gap in its funding. That would involve root and branch reform of the fiscal system, says Christine Wong of the National University of Singapore. China's tax revenue accounts for about 20% of GDP, compared with an average of 34% across the OECD. Another option is to make the state's pension schemes even less generous, but that risks sending more old people into poverty. In contrast to many Western countries, the elderly in China tend to be poorer than people from younger generations. A study by researchers at Peking University found that 13% of China's over 60s lived on less than 300 yuan a month in 2020. So this option appears to be a non-starter. We will continue to increase basic pensions, said Mr. Li last month. It will be tricky enough for the government to ensure that the elderly have a sufficient claim on the country's output, but it must also make certain that the economy is producing the right stuff to satisfy an older population's needs. That is the final challenge, and the government is relying on market forces to play a role in allocating resources. Mr. Li has promised to develop the silver economy, a term used to describe goods and services aimed at old people. The sector will be worth 30 trillion yuan by 2035, up from 7 trillion today, according to official estimates. Companies see opportunities, producing such things as medical equipment that can monitor old people's health at home. The demand for nutritional supplements like calcium has increased. Analysts reckon the market for adult diapers could overtake the one for infant nappies by 2025. Meanwhile, the state is subsidizing private investment in everything from companion robots to anti-aging gene therapy. But when it comes to more substantial care services, the scale of demand is such that the government will have to step up. As the number of old people suffering from chronic diseases and disabilities increases, the potential cost of long-term care nationwide will triple to $247 billion per year by 2050, according to estimates from researchers at Chongqing Technology and Business University. In cities like Shanghai, where local coffers are flush, the government seems to be doing a good job. Officials have launched a program to renovate the houses of old people, adding lifts and handrails. Cheap community canteens, which deliver food, are being built. Officials also subsidized home bathing services for those with disability or dementia, taking notice of a practice that is common in Japan. Most local governments, though, are short of cash. The care homes they maintain are either shoddy or full. Staffing is a problem too. China has 500,000 trained carers. It needs 6 million, estimates Xinhua, an official news agency. In rural areas, officials are relying on what they call mutual aid projects, where younger old people help care for older ones. For now, few are complaining. Many oldsters have lived through far more difficult periods, such as the Great Chinese Famine and the Cultural Revolution. Lauren Johnston of the University of Sydney calls China's elderly the suck-it-up generation. Indeed, they were forced to do just that when the government lifted most of its COVID-19 restrictions in late 2022, without having adequately prepared for a big wave of the disease. More than 1 million people are thought to have died in the months that followed. Most were old. The ruling Communist Party, which covered up the death toll, paid no real political price. But China's leaders do not completely ignore the feelings of old people. One reason so many died of COVID was because the government refused to mandate vaccination, partly out of fear of a backlash from the elderly. The next generation of oldsters may have more considerable demands. They will have grown up during the boom times, and many expect to while away their sunset years in comfort. If the party gets things wrong, its biggest critics may not be young liberals, but old curmudgeons.